Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Give me the Minnesota. So it's so nice to see so many faces here. I am still learning the appropriate Minnesotan response. But it is great to have you here. And so we just ask that you look forward to this special service that we've got going on here. We'll have some music you'll get to hear from our kids. As well as, if you've seen advertised there, we have a special visitor that's blasted back or blasted forward from the past, from 2,000 years ago. You're going to get a chance to hear the Easter story this morning from the perspective of the Roman centurion. So, before we get started, though, if you are a visitor, there are little yellow cards in there, and if you would like an opportunity to be able to fill out contact information, if you've got prayer requests or just ways that we can follow up with you, feel free to do that. And in the offering plates, you may have noticed them as they came in. We're not passing them right now, but they are at the back table. You can drop them off on your way out. Also, if someone still is in need of any communion elements, they are back there. We can grab some for you if you need that. We're going to be taking that later on than normal in the service. But with no further ado, turn it over to the worship team.
With that welcome to begin our worship. So I would ask, or I would say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We're going to read from Luke 24, 1-6 this morning. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen.
Please stand as we begin our worship.
Declare with your mouth, Jesus. Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved.
Thank you.
He lives. Salvation to impart, right? We're all saved by believing in Him. And how do we know that He lives? He lives in our heart. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Go ahead and be seated.
Isn't that great? down on the hi, Mike. Hi, Heidi. That's all right. That's okay. So that he recognized that, you know, this is time for the prayer of the people. And I'm just going to give an announcement here quickly. For next Saturday, there's going to be a men's breakfast, April 10th. So come. There might be some egg left over. We'll see what we have for men's breakfast. Come at 7 if you are able. We'll have a Bible study first, and then at 8 o'clock we'll eat. Okay. And then also, packing backpacks for kids' hope is at 10 o'clock on this Wednesday. Meals go to ACGC families. And if you are available to help, come to the church Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Okay? I guess at this time I'm going to ask that if there's any prayer requests that we can have now before the service here, we're going to ask that you would just stand up and give it if you wish. Cassie.
Jeff's uncle and Rob's father passed away last night.
Yeah, last night Jeffrey Allen's uncle, Wally, a twin brother of his, of Jeff's dad, passed away. Bless you, John. Okay.
I would like to pray for, because there's so many of us that suffer from cancer and have such hard days, and some of us have good days, aftermaths. But I'd like to pray for all these people because, and for all you, for the prayers and the well-being and everything that you do for us. It's just so amazing. And please pray. Pray for us. We need them.
Thanks, Gabby. Yeah, there's many that are dealing with cancer and also the healing process and bodies where there's been surgeries done to my wife. I'll bring her up right now. She had her knee replaced on last Monday, and now she's here walking. But the pain has started to increase just a little bit, you know, as healing begins. So pray for that part going forward for the healing process. Anyone else? It's good to see so many here today. It really is. I'm fearful of being in front of big crowds. But I'm getting better. Okay. It's good to see family here. And I know that there's families represented here today. So welcome you all too. Okay, let's bow in prayer because the centurion, I think, is on his way somewhere. I don't know where, but we'll see where he enters from here. But we'll pray for him also. Pray for our service today. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us each day. We ask that you would just watch over this flock in this fine city of Grove City and beyond. There's many areas where we come from and where we are hailing from and living. But Lord, there's definitely a time that we need to just be in contact with you. Because of the losses of life, family members, Lord, we pray for the unknown family, Lord, that you would just be with them as this loss has affected at this time, Lord, at this season. We know that death has, it's the final for us here, but not the final for us as we go to be with you. So we're thankful that you, that we are here in this Easter season now, recognizing that we are yours, and you will one day be with you, to the glory of God. So Lord, we just thank you for all that you're going to do today, as we lift up your name to be praised and honored today. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to have a children's story.
So any of you who feeling young at heart, if you want to come forward to the front pew and the second pew if we need. I'm going to get out a couple of my slides here and I'm looking for a volunteer who would sit right on the pew. When I let you know, I'll get you a whole microphone, okay? All right. Very good. Your first time, and some of you still sitting in the pews. Thank you so much for coming. It's wonderful to have you here. Well, today is a special day, isn't it? I'm going to trip right over on the step here. A special, special day, Easter Day. It's been quite a week. Sometimes we refer to this last week that we've just gone through as Holy Week. Now, a week ago, some of you walked up the center aisle and you carried palms as everyone else sang a worship song. Do you remember why? What were we remembering when we hit palms? A week ago. Yes. Well, I see another hand. Remember what we were talking about a week ago? Yes.
So, remember, when Jesus was going to the ministry, and it's when all the people were selling stuff in the ministry, and that's not what it was supposed to happen. People were just celebrating that a Savior has come and stuff.
The people were really excited, weren't they? They were celebrating on that day when he rode in towards Jerusalem on that donkey. Everybody was excited and waving their palms and throwing their jackets on the road for him. And as the week went on, things changed, didn't they? There was chaos, there was confusion. The religious people were getting pretty upset with Jesus about things he was saying and things he was predicting. And it got so bad that they decided they had to get rid of him. They were going to kill him. So they had their plan. And their plan worked. But for just a little while. Because what they didn't realize was that God's power is greater than death.
And they shouldn't have done that. That is disrespectful.
Well, there was some awful things that went on. And it was a painful death. But you know what? It all really was part of God's plan. And so today, what we celebrate is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. We are celebrating a resurrection because he had power over sin and death. And because of that, that takes care of sin in our life. So I'm going to do a little demonstration here. And first I'm going to give you each a penny. One time I did a children's story and gave everybody a dollar. That's the kind of thing I didn't do that today. Okay, and so as I talk today, you listen for what I say about a penny. Okay, we'll get more people up here. Now, there's kind of one way to work it out. Okay, a penny for everyone. Okay. Now I'll have you hold the mic for me if you would.
I'll hold it right up to my.
So I'm going to demonstrate a little bit here of what we've been thinking about as we thought about Good Friday, about Jesus' death, and even more important, what he accomplished with that. So, I have a penny. That is going to represent you, okay? So here goes the penny in the bowl. Those of you in the second row, if you want to stand, or if you maybe those guys want to slide over a little bit, it's going to be hard for everybody to see it exactly, but I'll try to explain it as I do it. Here I have some water with red food coloring. Keep holding it. This is going to represent sin. So sin is all around us. And kind of just can engulf us. I got that there. I have a white candle. This is going to represent Jesus. Jesus is in the center. I'm going to light it. This represents the life of Jesus. Now, I'm hoping in my box I have a jar. Uh-oh. I came without the most important part of my demonstration. Well, that must be on the kitchen table. Anybody want to run and get it quick? It's 9 miles away, so it's not going to work. So what I was going to do is put a clear jar over that candle. Anybody know what happens if I cover it up? That flame is going to disappear, isn't it? Like what happened when Jesus lost his life. Yes?
It's going to disappear because it doesn't have any air to keep going.
Right, because it doesn't have any air. It sucked the oxygen out of it. And then what happens when I put that glass jar over, it sucks that red liquid up into it like. And that demonstrates Jesus taking all that sin upon him. That was a really hard thing for him to do. That was really a heaviness when he took all the sin of all the people. Past and present and future, he took that upon him. And that's the most important part of what he did. He took our sin upon himself. And we have that free gift. And so instead of us being engulfed in that sin, he took care of it. So, sorry that, you know what? Anything that I could do to try and demonstrate something Jesus did is very imperfect, isn't it? God is perfect. He does everything exactly right. And he does it completely. And it's a good thing. So there's a verse that says, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So no matter what changes, no matter what we forget, God always loves us. And he's in control. And he gave us that gift of salvation through Jesus. And we can accept that gift. Do you have a question?
No. Did you just put all the water in and then use that jar to do it?
I could have, except this is a plastic one. And then I really like your idea. This is plastic, and the flame might have done it. We maybe would have had to call the fire department. But I really like your idea. So, thank you very much. Now, I have a gift for each of you from First Baptist. It is some wristbands. And so, I'm going to pass them out.
Thank you for
coming. And you know what? They're like the extras.
and if you can think of a friend who might like one, or a brother or a sister that you'd like to give to, you can have him do that as well. And then you can go back and sit with your family again.
My name is Marcus Antonius, a centurion in the legions of Rome, but stationed in Judea. For 25 years, I have faithfully served my emperor. Rising up from the lowest of ranks, I became a captain of 100 men in a regiment of 5,000. I have fought in more battles than I care to remember, in lands such as Greece, Persia, and Carthage. My blade has shed the blood of hundreds in the field of battle, and I learned to fear nothing and no one. But to be stationed in Judea, my sword shed the blood of too many Judeans. And there is no honor in that. For they have no army, no force to face in the field of battle. They were simply a difficult, pathetic, and backward country that hadn't the sense to bow before the throne of Caesar. Other nations had accepted Caesar's rule. Other people had bowed to the authority of Rome. But not these Jews. Not these Jews. We knew it was their religion, their faith in the one holy and righteous God that made their backs like iron and made it impossible for them to bow their knee. Privately, we speculated that we might have to destroy their very temple before they would bow to Caesar. They were a bitter, harsh, and unkind people. But to be fair to them, not all of them were. Some of them were kind to us, and some of them were good. Many of these were the ones who listened to the instructions of a rabbi known as Jesus. We Romans laughed about this Jesus. To us, he was little more than an itinerant preacher who had nothing better to do with his time than to travel about the countryside preaching about peace and love. We Romans know that peace came by the edge of the sword. And love? Love was something to be purchased. We were men of the world. We understood these things. To us, Jesus was nothing more than a simpleton and a fool. Lucius, however, didn't agree with us. Lucius was my friend and a fellow centurion. And he told me the strangest tale. It seems that one of his servants became sick and was paralyzed and racked with great pain. And Lucius was beside himself, because this was his favorite servant. But then he heard about this rabbi, who not only preached about peace and love, but rumor had it, could heal a man by simply touching him. The crippled were made to walk, the blind to see, and lepers were made whole again. So my friend sought out this Jesus. And he finally found him in a dirty backwater town. My servant, he said, is sick and in great pain. Will you come with me and heal him? And Jesus replied, yes, I will come with you at once and heal him. But then Lucius boldly said, no, that will not be necessary. For I am a man of authority. I tell one man, do this, and another, do that. You have simply to say the word, and my servant will be healed. Then Lucius told me that Jesus stared into his eyes and marveled. Never in all of Israel have I seen such faith. Return home, and it shall be as you have said. Then Lucius told me that very hour of the day, his servant rose up from his bed and was completely healed. Did this really happen? I didn't know. I, too, am a religious man. And in my religion, there are many stories of great healings and miraculous occurrences, most of which I knew were false. So what did I know? But then I met this Jesus. He had been arrested the night before and brought up before the leaders of his people. They accused him of being a heretic. They said he claimed to be the Son of God. And they condemned him to death. But since Judea was under the authority of Rome, they didn't have the authority to execute him legally. So they brought him before Pontius Pilate, the governor of the region. They accused him of being a traitor to Rome. They said he claimed to be the king of Israel, and that he challenged the authority of Caesar himself. This was a crime worthy of death on the cross. And if Pilate didn't crucify him, he was no friend of Caesar's. I was present when Jesus entered the room. From the moment that he stepped foot through the door, I knew something wasn't right. Pilate was a man who had sent hundreds of prisoners to their death. I had seen him sentence men to be crucified without even flinching. But as the interrogation proceeded, it became increasingly apparent that Pilate wasn't judging this Jesus. Jesus was judging Pilate. Pilate's unease only grew when his wife burst into the room and dragged him to the corner, warning him in soft tones not to have anything to do with this Holy One, that she had a dream about him that very night. Pilate sought to spare Jesus the pain of the cross, and he instructed me to take him outside to the outer courtyard and have him flogged. Flogging was one of the most hardened, or it was a punishment usually reserved for the most hardened criminals. 30, 40, 50 lashes, and a man's skin would hang in strips from his chest and his back. One out of every three men who were flogged died from this punishment. When we finished, my soldiers began to mock him. They put a purple robe on his shoulders and fashioned a crown of thorns and shoved it on his head. "Hail, King of the Jews!" they cried. Then they blindfolded him and spat on him. Struck him. "Prophesy, O Son of God, who was it that struck you?" But Jesus never spoke. He never uttered a word. He stood there as one who still had the authority of a man of power. Finally, I returned this Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate, thinking to gain the sympathies of the crowd, led this man out with his terribly beaten body before them. "What would you have me do with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" he asked. The chief priests and Pharisees went out amongst the people, and they whispered, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And the crowd cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And at last, though Pilate was still uneasy about this Jesus, he feared the crowd more and ordered me to take him outside to city walls to a place called Golgotha and put him on a cross. Crucifixion was one of the most cruel and terrible forms of execution known to man. Now, at one time, Rome required its common soldiers to place men on the cross. But they soon discovered that this so demoralized the troops that they finally took to selecting one man who was the executioner. This was a man of great strength, so that with one blow, he could drive the nails through the flesh into the wood. Roman soldiers who were assigned the duty to stand guard over those who were being crucified often took to drinking large amounts of strong drink in order to dull their senses. One soldier wrote, "Of all the sounds in hell, none is more pitiable than those terrible cries heard through the silence of the midnight, where crucified men hang in their agony and cannot die while a breath of suffering remains." When men were being put on the cross, many of them would spit on us and curse us and threaten us and our families. But we knew their threats were meaningless. Once they were put on the cross and raised to the sky, they would not come back down alive again. But Jesus was different. He never spat on us, or threatened us, or cursed us. Like a lamb being led to the slaughter, he never opened his mouth. Then at one point during the day, he pushed himself up on his feet, which were pinned to the cross, and he drew in a breath of air and cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They know not what they do. Initially, I joined in the mocking and taunting of this Jesus. But then the darkness came. It was noonday, and the sun should have filled the sky. But instead, darkness came down like a curtain, and the crowd scurried away. My own soldiers began to shrink back from his cross. For 3 hours, darkness reigned upon the face of the earth. And then at last, he pushed himself up again and drew one last gasp of air and cried out, "It is finished." And then he died. No sooner had he died than the ground beneath our feet began to shake and my men fell to their knees. I looked up at the cross and the man on it and I said, "Surely, this man was the Son of God." 3 days later, it was rumored that this Jesus rose from the dead. Some of my own soldiers told me they were there when the earth shook again and the stone rolled back from the grave. And no one was to be found in the tomb. Over 500 men were said to have seen the resurrected Christ. But I was a Roman. I worshiped many gods. So even if this man was a god, he would have simply been one of many. But I couldn't remove his words from my heart, or the events of the day from my mind. I couldn't shake the reality that I was guilty of this innocent man's blood. I had been the one authority. It was I who had ordered his execution. 7 years later, I encountered a man with the same name as myself, Mark, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, he called himself. And I shared with him the experiences I had had the day of Jesus' crucifixion. He told me that Jesus had indeed been the Son of God. That his death had not been an accident, but was instead the very will of God. And that he had died to take away the guilt and shame of man's sin. I was guilty, he said, of Jesus' death. But not because I put him on the cross. It was my sin and selfishness and arrogance and pride that had put him on the cross. I knew at once that what this Christian told me was true. And so I did the very thing that those Jews couldn't do long ago before Caesar. I knelt before Jesus. I bowed my will to him. I died to the man I used to be and allowed myself to be buried with the waters of baptism as he had been buried many years before. And I rose from my grave as he rose from his. I had become a new man, a soldier now for Christ. There is perhaps no story that I appreciate about the crucifixion than this story about the Roman centurion. The outsider, if you will, the one that did not have all of the stories growing up of the coming Messiah. And yet he acknowledged back in this story that I just restated, that he understood the authority that Jesus had. He didn't need Jesus to physically come to the location to heal the servant, and nor did we. But this crucifixion, this cross, this resurrection, this Easter Sunday, this is a message for all of us for all time. For those of us that have a relationship with Christ, it is a reminder of what he did for us that day on the cross. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus at this point, I pray that you consider it today. Now, if you've been around here these last 2 weeks, you've heard me say this. But I'm going to say it again. If you don't know Christ, and you're thinking about pushing it off another day, Scripture tells us, no, today is the day of salvation. I would greatly encourage you, if you want to know more about who this Jesus is and what he's meant to me or to anyone in this congregation, I'd encourage you to come talk with me. We've got a few deacons around here that would be more than happy to talk with you after the service. So thank you again for being here. We're going to turn now to our time of communion. So just a couple short days before Easter, and something we do around here, the first week of the month, is to honor what Jesus' words at the Last Supper. So if you recall, shortly before he was arrested and taken to the cross, he was sitting around a table with his disciples. And they were eating, and he took out a piece of bread, or a loaf of bread, and broke it. And he held it up. And I don't think his disciples had any idea of what was to come in the way that it came. We get that pretty clearly through other pieces of Scripture. But he came that night, and he told them that this represented his body. And that as often as they gather, they were to eat of it in remembrance of Jesus' body. Take and eat. And after doing that, he took the cup and he said to them, "This blood represents, this cup represents my blood. And just as you meet together, again, do this in remembrance of me." Drink ye all. I'm going to give a benediction, and then there will be one more closing song. I want to thank you again for coming. You are welcome here anytime. We have a Sunday school, adult Sunday school at 9:15 each week, along with our regular service here at 10 o'clock. May the peace of Christ be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, church, you are sent.
Jesus.
king this week.